Might be worth grabbing a Bible and turning to Isaiah chapter 54. I'm not going to say a great deal, actually, so listen up. If people wander in late, you'll need to explain what I have said, particularly if they're your leaders. Chapters 54 and 55 is what we're looking at this evening. And they're the final two chapters in the sort of section of Isaiah that we've been in since chapter 40. You'll know this is the section in Isaiah where we've been introduced to the servant, who in the first place was Israel, and then as we've progressed through the section has developed into this sort of one servant, or the true servant, or I think the super servant is the term that we've been using, who's going to fulfill and achieve everything that Israel hadn't and couldn't achieve. So we've been introduced to what the servant's going to do. And 2 weeks ago, it seems like ages ago, doesn't it? 2 weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 53, we saw how the servant was going to achieve this through his sacrificial wrath-bearing death. And then here in the final two chapters of the section, we see the result of what the servant achieves, and we see the right response to what the servant has achieved, the result and the response. Just before we look at those, it's just important to see the links between chapter 53 that we were looking at 2 weeks ago and these two chapters, so that we know that what we're looking at this evening isn't a sort of brand new topic. Rather, it flows out of what we were looking at a couple of weeks ago back in 53. So apart from the fact that 54 and 55 follow on from 53, a more concrete link, one more concrete link is the idea of offspring. So have a look back in chapter 53 and verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. So this idea of servant seeing his offspring. And then in chapter 54, verse 1, that idea is picked up again. Sing, O barren one who did not bear, because you're going to have offspring. And then in verse 3, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. So there's an offspring link flowing out of chapter 53. There's also a sort of many, or particularly many nations link. Actually, this is just the end of 52, but 52 verse 15. So shall the servant sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. And then on into, 54:1. For the children of the desolate will be more, or will be many. And then over into chapter 55, verses 4 and 5. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. So there's this idea, this link of nations or many nations picked up from chapter 53 in chapters 54 and 55. Because 54 and 55 flow straight on from 53, and they show us the result of what the servants achieved and the response, the right response to what the servants achieved. So first, just have a look at the result of what the servants achieved. And I guess if you've read through the chapters, the overwhelming impression in these chapters is just the sheer extent of what the servant achieves. In chapter 54, we see what the servant achieves, I think, for God's people. And then in 55, the whole thing is blown wide open as we see what the servant achieves for the whole world. So just have a look down at 54. I don't think lots of this isn't new in Isaiah, but I think it's as though up to this point we've seen glimpses of it. It's as though we've been looking at it with a torch, where you can see just a limited bit at any one time. And it's as though in these two chapters that the light is turned on and you get to see the whole picture of what the servant will achieve. And it's breathtaking. It's mind-blowing. Quite literally, chapter 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says God." So just see in 54, for God's people, just to get into the extent of what's achieved, see how everything that has gone before is reversed. Everything's turned on its head. So chapter 54 we are here, verses 1 to 3, this barren nation will have many children and will possess the nations. Then in verses 4 to 10, the next sort of section, this shamed and disgraced nation who deserted God and who in turn were deserted by God, well, they'll be reunited with God and reconciled with God and loved by God forever. And then verses 11 to 17, this nation who are like a city that has been attacked and oppressed and whose inhabitants cower within the walls, afraid, will be made strong and secure and victorious and fearless. They're really vivid pictures, aren't they? Thrilling pictures. The result of what the servant has done in verse 53 will reverse everything bad that has gone before for God's people. But interestingly as well, everything that the servant achieves in 53 will also fulfill everything that's been promised to God's people. So in 54 verse 10, God describes what he's going to do in terms of a covenant, an everlasting covenant of peace. And it looks like it's a new covenant, doesn't it? And something new that's going on. And there's a sense in which that's true. But there's also a sense in which it's not really a new covenant at all, but rather it's a fulfilling of all of the old covenants or all of the other covenants. So in the language at the beginning of the chapter of many offspring for the barren one, that reminds us, doesn't it, of the covenant to Abraham. And then in verse 5, there's this language of the God of the whole earth, the Holy One of Israel, who redeems his enslaved people. And that reminds us of the Exodus and the covenant with Moses. Then in verse 9, we're reminded explicitly of the covenant with Noah. And in chapter 53 and verse 3, 55, verse 3, I beg your pardon. We're reminded again explicitly of the covenant with David. So I think what's going on here is that there's a sense in which this new covenant in verse 10 of chapter 54 is a sort of fulfilling or a pulling together of all of the covenants that have gone before. It's amazing. The servant is going to achieve everything that has been promised to God's people. Everything is turned around and put right. Everything is fulfilled that has been promised. And if we think that's amazing for God's people, then in chapter 54, then chapter 55 is just, well, it's outrageous. Because everything that's done for God's people is then thrown open to the whole world in chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirst. Don't want to say too much about that, obviously, because you'll be unpacking that in your groups. Just before we get into chapter 55 in the groups, notice very quickly that as well as showing us the result of what the servant achieves, these chapters also show us the response or the right response to what the servant achieves. So 54 and verse 1, the response is to sing. And then in 55 verse 1, the response is to come. and verse 6, to seek and to call. Again, I'm sure you'll be unpacking what that looks like in practice in our groups. Why don't we get down to that now, chapter 55.